Hey, everybody, welcome into Gwen and Chris. Why do I sound so happy? I mean, after that game last night, pretty difficult. I got to tell you, Scraby, that was one of the worst parties I've ever been to. And it was a long night for the faithful. But alas, there will be a Game 5, and the Padres can certainly win it. But today it is the day off. With the series now tied at 2 between the Dodgers and the Padres, Chris Ello and Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. at Dodger Stadium, where Game 5 will take place tomorrow night. And Tony, I think it would be appropriate if Scraby played the sound of a flushing toilet right now, because Padres need to just flush that one last night and get on with business.
I mean, listen, if me personally, I this is where I thought this was series was going the whole time.
Yeah.
I thought it would go 5. Here we are. And, the chips fall where they may at this point. And the Padres, you know, when you look at the 4 games that we've seen, those are special ingredients. The Padres have really only gotten that 1 game, yet they've been able to win 2. Now, I think the miniature concern, and I put the miniature part in quotations, is, you know, the offense. Haven't scored, 14, 15 innings, something along those
lines. You're going 15, yeah.
15 innings. So that's a miniature concern, but I just have to imagine in a Game 5 that's going to go out the window. And I think, you know, Yu's on the mound. I'm assuming it'll be Yu. I don't know if they've announced it yet, but... I'm assuming it'll be you, all hands on deck. And listen, man, this is for the guys on the field, man. This is like literally the things they've dreamt up before. And some of them have been through an elimination game, some of them haven't. But this is where this series was destined to go, I feel like.
Yeah, it would have been lovely to win 3 straight, you know, or even, you know, do what the Padres did 2 years ago and sweep the 2 at home and take it down in 4. But again, we kept saying it, and the Dodgers are, you know, all that. And it's a proud franchise. It's one that has not had the kind of success that it would like to have in the postseason. But we knew they weren't going to roll over last night. They did not. And Dave Roberts, I think, you know, managed a terrific game as it turned out. You know, he pushed all the right buttons. But the reason he pushed all the right buttons is because, you know, every time the Padres threatened, you know, they were unable to come up with a big hit. And, right. and that's how it turned out last night. I don't know what Dave Roberts is going to do for Game 5. I'm sure there's been no announcement, and Dave Roberts will keep it secret as long as he can. But I got to believe they're going to do the same thing in Game 5. I really do. I would be surprised if Yamamoto is allowed to start that game. I think the Dodgers, honestly, will start Ryan Brazier. I think they'll go with the same plan. And I think this time it's going to burn them. I don't know that you can win back-to-back games doing this. As John Smoltz has said throughout these playoffs, if you do a bullpen game, then 8 guys have to all be on their game. And as it turned out last night, all 8 guys for the Dodgers were pretty much on their game. But I got to believe the Padres are going to get them if they do it again. I still feel the utmost confidence in this Padre team. I think it's understandable to be, you know, concerned and worried and, you know, a little negative. I mean, you just lost 8-0 after all. But I really have a lot of faith. I think this team is one of the best the Padres have ever put together. And maybe for that reason, Tony, there's more at stake tomorrow night than maybe there's ever been.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go with...
You don't?
Brazier to start. I think they're going to go with Yamamoto or Flaherty, for that matter, or both, and still have those arms that they can go to. I don't think they could run out the same exact group and expect the same type of success, considering that, you know, these guys are, especially Brazier, he's been out there quite a bit, and so I think he's pitched in all but one of the games in the 4. And so I don't know, we'll see. I think, listen, you're paying Yamamoto quite a bit of money. I would guess he is going to be your guy at least to start the game. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to have a long leash. I mean, he certainly, they will pull the plug. And I think that goes for both sides, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
If the starter doesn't get out the gate well, he won't be in there long. And so, I think, and that's what makes this game so intriguing, because I agree with Smoltz. Like, you could pull it off one game. Can you pull it off two, though? I mean, without getting a bulk guy, because that was what was I thought was impressive about yesterday. They didn't really have a bulk guy. Nobody went more than an inning and two thirds in that game last night. So, that's I ran out of spots for the pitchers. I had to create one on my list to fit Landon Knack in there at the end. But you tip your cap, as you said. I think you said it perfectly, Chris. That's a proud franchise. They got embarrassed 2 years ago. They got embarrassed last year. And I think that that was on their mind. And they punched the Padres in the face. That being said, I still think the Padres are in a better spot going into a Game 5 than the Dodgers.
Well, we are going to have Mike Shildt on the program here in about a half an hour. So we'll get a chance to talk with the Padres skipper. Stick around for that. We're on for 2.5 hours today ahead of Thursday night football. It is the quasi 49er pregame show today, Tony. 49ers and Seahawks is our Thursday night football game.
Go Seahawks.
Yeah, come on, Seahawks.
I'm wearing my 49ers shoes today.
Your 49ers shoes.
Yep.
All right. Where'd you get?
You got a new hoodie there, buddy.
I did, yes. Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, there's Tony. I see Tony on the camera now.
You got
there
a new hoodie there, buddy.
Yes, I decided to step up my clothes game a little bit.
Isn't it amazing that he can just take one look at you in the camera?
And, that is pretty amazing.
And be able to understand that you have a new piece of clothing?
That is pretty amazing, I have to say.
It's not that amazing
when you consider
you only wear three T-shirts the rest of the time. So.
I do have a uniform. I had an ex-girlfriend that asked me if I could not wear my uniform to the dinner, her birthday dinner. So, which is jeans and a black T-shirt.
I've never seen any other color on you unless the 49ers jersey.
Here are my 49ers shoes right here.
Nice.
There we go.
All right.
Not only do you got a new hoodie, but you got some new kicks, too. I like it.
He's ready to go.
Yes.
There's been a lot of, I want to say negativity today, but it's understandable, doubt about the Padres right now. But I want to bring up something that is, on the positive side, and I think something hopefully you Padre fans can lean on going into Game 5. This is going to be the fourth winner-take-all game in the history of the Padres franchise, and they won each of the previous three. So, let's hope that continues. 1984, they took it to a deciding game of the NLCS. Your dad, Tony, had what proved to be the game-winning hit in a rally. They came from 3-0 down that day, beat the Cubs 6-3 to get to the World Series. You had the winner-take-all game in front of no fans, and that was against Mike Shildt and the Cardinals. And interestingly, the Padres used a bullpen day that day. Craig Stammen started that game, right? And they shut out the Cardinals 4-0. And then the other winner-take-all game is, of course, the famous Joe Musgrove victory over the Mets 6-0 a couple of years ago. So, the Padres have done this before. Not this team, but, we've had success. And I think by the time it starts tomorrow, I think everybody's going to be in a lot better frame of mind than they are right now. Because right now, everybody's understandably pretty down and out.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about everybody being down and out. In the perfect world, the Padres would have swept the Dodgers and we'd be on waiting for this series to start against the Mets. But come on, listen, the Dodgers finished with the best record in baseball. Like, we gotta keep things in perspective. And as good as the Padres are playing, this is still a really good team across from them. And unfortunately, one of their best players has started to heat up in the line. I think that's made a huge difference in their lineup, right? Although the Padres really haven't intentionally walked Ohtani, I think they've done it once in this series or twice in this series, something along those lines. You could make the argument through the first, three games. It was like, okay, well, we can do that. We can, our first two games at least. We can move past Ohtani and deal with Betts because he's not swinging the bat well. That's not really an option right now. And I think it was impressive what they did yesterday. They did that without Freddie Freeman in their lineup.
They did.
They just And so I say that to say this is a good team that the Padres are playing against. And so, you know, despite all the warts that we read about and heard about during the course of the season that they have, it's still a really good team. And so, you know, you get to tomorrow. I like our chances, man. I really do. I think this team, more than any team I've observed this team, when I mean this, I mean the Padres, can flush a game and act like nothing ever happened the following day, like as well as anyone. And so I'm putting my faith in that as they roll out there tomorrow. I like this team's chances in a game five.
I think something to keep an eye on. Doesn't necessarily mean it'll come to pass, but if the I was thinking about the way runs have been scored in this series, Tony, and the home run ball has been such a big part of it. Now, the Dodgers have scored 22 runs this series. All but 8 of them have come in on home runs. Padres have scored 21 runs. All but 8 of theirs have come in on home runs. You know, it may come down to one swing somewhere or a couple of swings somewhere, especially in a game five with the pitching the way it's been in this series. So, you know, obviously the Dodgers have a little edge in home run hitting, but the Padres have, you know, all throughout this lineup, we've seen these guys come up big all year long. And it was interesting on the roundtable this morning, Ben asked us, who do we think is going to be our pick to click for the Padres in game five? Who's going to come through? And you start thinking about it, it could be Fernando. It could be Manny. It could be Merrill. It could be Cronenworth. It could be Higashioka, the way he's hitting the pro season. It could easily be Profar with another magical moment. Padres have a lot of guys, and it's just going to take one or two of them to come through, I think, tomorrow night.
That's a great way to look at it. I think, obviously, Toddy's going to be the easy pick to click because he's the hottest dude on the planet. But it could easily be Manny. You know, it could easily be Luis. It could be all those guys that you named. But what's going to happen is, you know, the Padres, frankly, didn't play well yesterday. You know, they made some uncharacteristic decisions and mistakes. And that, in a game five, though, it has you got to at least play clean. Right, that if you don't play clean, now you're depending on the other team not playing clean as well, because in these type of games, those mistakes are magnified to the 10th power, and so you know, I think yesterday was the first game in the playoffs where the Padres I thought didn't play well, you know they did some uncharacteristic things for the first time in what 6-7 games something along those
lines.
That's
a ground ball that Bogaerts are going to get 99 out of 100 times.
Fernando
ended up costing him 3 runs. I mean it was 5-0, and by the time that inning was over, the game was over.
Fernando had an uncharacteristic mistake in right field where he kind of tried to pick up the ball and then he kicked it into the corner. I mean it
didn't end up costing him anything on that one. But to your point, those are the. Thankfully, it didn't cost him on that one. If that would have been Betts or somebody who actually could run, that would have turned into to 3 at that point. So, you know, and that's just like I said. That was I will say that place was. I mean, at the beginning of the game, dog, it was crazy electric. Like they played that Travis Scott Fiend song when they ran out there, dude. That play, the hair on my arm was standing up. And you know, and it just goes to show you. We witnessed it here in the first couple of games. You can one quick run for the visiting team, all of a sudden, changed it all.
Yeah.
And if you keep adding to that, they don't even get a chance to get into the game. And that's how it was at Petco last night, right? Freaking Mookie, homers to left, the buzz immediately is killed, and then because we don't counter like we did the first night, they never really got back into that game. You know, and the Padres never really got a chance to get them back into the game. And so, you know, in each of the games that we've seen, early runs have been scored, and in at least the first two occasions, crowd really wasn't able to get into it. Now, in game one, Dodgers came back. Never got a chance to get back in the game in game two. Game three, Mookie homers, Padres counter, Padre fans kind of got back in it. Yesterday, And they never got into it. After that, after everybody got to the field, it was pretty much one of the more quieter crowds we had at Petco Park.
I blame Chris.
That wasn't their fault. It was just they never got the chance to cheer about.
You're blaming
much.
Me?
Yeah, I'm blaming
What'd
you.
What'd I say?
No, you were just there. You were just at the game. You were just at the game.
Was I not at the game on Tuesday night?
Not for the whole thing, I don't think.
Oh, brother. This is ridiculous.
They start scoring runs once you left.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous, I say. The other thing that you know, a lot of people have been kicking around today, and I think it's mostly revisionist thinking and Monday morning quarterbacking, but, you know, the decision to start Dylan Cease, and that didn't work out. I mean, there's no argument about that, but we'll discuss, you know, what Mike Schilt's options might have been and some other things. Game 5 is tomorrow night. I know what Tony's going to say. It doesn't matter anymore. It's only matter what happens tomorrow night. But we'll continue to discuss.
We got some time to fill. So
yes, we do.
Dodgers,
Padres. We'll talk about it a little bit. Mike Schilt will be on the show coming up at 2:40. So he's about 25 minutes away. Stick around for that. Tony's in Dodger Stadium. Padres will be there tomorrow night for Game 5. We got Gwynn and Chris right now on 97.3 The Fan.
2:22. D. Gwynn, Chris Ello, Matthew Schrader. Padres licking their wounds a little bit after getting whooped last night at home, losing out on the chance to clinch. But they have a chance to have it be so much sweeter in Dodger Stadium, perhaps having a chance to celebrate two times in the same year on this field. We'll find out, Tony.
Yeah. Good recollection. You're already in the clubhouse for a champagne thing down there. So.
I sure was. I wasn't ready that day, but I'll be ready tomorrow if that is indeed the case.
Yeah, that's right.
Padres 5:08 tomorrow here on Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium. I think it's going to be a great one. I really do. At this point, it's the only series that has gone five. Of course, we could find out tonight if two more will go five. The Guardians taking on the Guardians?
Tigers
ahead 2-1 in that series, and then the Yankees taking on the Royals. Yankees ahead 2-1 in that series. So we'll find out if the Padres will be the only game five. Certainly those American League games will be on Saturday if they do reach a game five.
Yes, they will both play tonight. We should also mention, because I'm thinking, and believing the Padres are going to win. So let's give you just an idea of when the NLCS is going to start. They've announced the start times for the first two games here in San Diego. Sunday would be a 5:05 start or 5:08. Monday, get this, Tony. Monday for game two would be 1:00 in the afternoon. So something to just scribble in your calendar somewhere. And when the Padres win tomorrow night, then you'll be set for the start of the NLCS. 5:00 Sunday, 1:00 Monday.
I feel like, and I could be wrong, I feel like that is that might be, because you got the Mets are going to be on the National League side for sure. Let's fast forward, say it's the Padres facing the Mets. Then you'll have possibly Yankees and whoever, right?
And they're going to want to put the Yankees in prime time Monday
night. The Yankees are going to get the prime time spot. Some ways, though, it works better for Major League Baseball to have a West Coast and East Coast game, because now you can fit two games into the prime time area, right? The Padres will be at 4:00 Eastern,
right,
on the East Coast time, and that Yankee game will start 8:00. So you'll be able to, for Major League Baseball, it works best when they get NLCSs, ALCSs on opposite sides of the coast, because now you can fit both games in prime time area and get the most bang for your buck.
No doubt. I am of the belief on the Dylan Cease starting the game last night. Look, all of the, and I'm going to say analytics. I'm not a fan, but the analytics have borne out over the history of the wild card round. 1995 it started. So we're looking at 30 years of data. Teams that use a starter on 3 days rest have a record of 61-90. It's now 61-91. So, you know, that was part of it. Dylan Cease also had never pitched on 3 days rest before. But, and it backfired. It didn't work. And, you know, did it cost them the game? I'm not so sure. They didn't score. So it may not have mattered who pitched. But I'm of the belief, Tony, that Mike Schilt started Dylan Cease because if he used anything else, whether it be Martin Perez or a bullpen day, whatever he wanted to use last night, he would have then had to go with Dylan Cease in Game 5. I don't think he could have told Dylan Cease, hey, we're skipping you in Game 5. So this way, by using Cease, he gets the guy he wanted on the mound for Game 5, which is Yu Darvish.
He said it out of his own mouth in the presser. I took a recording of this on my nice new little app called Otter.
All right.
Where it kind of takes the whole conversation and puts it in a transcript. He actually said that, and I'll find the exact quote, but he said, at the end of the day, I get Darvish in Game 5? Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think he wanted to have, I mean, if worse came to worse, he felt better, I think, about Darv going in Game 5. And I don't think he would say that out loud, but he was comfortable, yeah, I should say, with Darvish going in Game 5, especially the way he looked here in L.A. And I said this last night. The thing that came to mind instantly as the Dodgers started to kind of swing the bats, in this series, they have done really well against the Padres' more firmer throwers, guys who throw the fastball more. They got Dylan in Game 1. They got Michael in Game 3, although Michael settled in nicely and was able to give him, you know, get through 5 innings. They didn't get that from Darvish. Darvish, who, you know, shapeshifts and changes, you know, all kinds of different breaking balls, they struggled mightily against Darvish. Whereas Cease and King, at least they seem to be hunting the fastball a little bit more than I think we're used to seeing the Dodgers do, who oftentimes almost seem like they're guessing 100% correct at times. They struggled with Darvish. He's a lot more unpredictable than the other two guys. So I just think that this is I like Darv in this Game 5 matchup. I really do.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, it's going to be all hands on deck. But I think Darv is going to be outstanding. And, you know, the Dodgers also take a lot of pitches, Tony. And I think for a guy like Dylan Cease, even Michael King, they need some chase from the opposition. Dodgers just don't chase, and you've got to be in the strike zone. Pretty sure Darvish will be in the strike zone. And
yeah,
I don't think the Dodgers will be able to wait him out the same way they did the other two guys.
That was part of their game plan. Teoscar Hernandez said that also before the game in that presser. He said, obviously, him on 3 days rest, we want to get his pitch count up as much as we possibly can. Now,
yeah,
it's not as though they were up there taking pitches. I mean, they were taking some whacks, but they weren't chasing outside the zone very much. And mm-hmm. So that already on short days, you can see how that can end up a little bit problematic. And, you know, I think from Dylan's standpoint, he didn't have his fastball command. And I think those of us who watched him all year, when he doesn't have the command is when he can have an outing where, you know, it looks uneven, not as crisp as we've seen him. And that was, I think, the case last night.
And the Padres did not take our suggestion and place Profar and Merrill in the second row behind the stands for the top of the first inning. Because, I mean, it would have worked. So Mookie Betts going to hit a home run in the first inning of every game. It's going to be pretty annoying.
I have a few people in my DMs that know that I think this way sometimes, but I feel like maybe Mookie was embarrassed by Jurickson on whatever night that was, where Jurickson robbed it from the crowd and brought it back, and Mookie was trying to do his home run trot. And so then he was like, I'm just going to hit home runs in the first inning of the rest of these games so that I don't feel embarrassed anymore. Because Jurickson did kind of throw everyone for a loop. Not going to say I hated it, but Mookie Betts.
First of all, we all loved it. It was great. It was great theater.
It was.
But I think Mookie was more embarrassed by the 0-for-22 prior to that homer. So
I'm pretty sure that was it. And I also said before Game 3 that I was scared to death of Mookie Betts because he's too good. He's just too good. He's not going to continue that. and he hasn't. So, look, this is great. I think these are the I don't think it's out of the realm to say before we get to a quick break and Mike Schilt on the other side that these might not be the best two teams left in the entire playoffs. I know the Yankees would argue that. The Mets are on a roll. But I think these are the two best teams. It doesn't mean whoever wins tomorrow automatically, you know, wins it all. But it's just a great showdown, and yeah. I love being part of it. And, you know, it's going to be nerve-wracking. It's going to be tight. You're going to have to use every trick in the book as a fan to get through it. And, you know, if you got a lucky sofa you sit on, you're going to do it. You wear lucky socks, you're going to wear them. But this is what sports is about, if you ask me.
Whatever lucky piece of clothing, if you believe
that's
in
right.
that, all needs to be on tomorrow.
I didn't wear my Padres shoes yesterday because I didn't go to the game.
Well, you need to have them on tomorrow, buddy. I don't
I
care
will.
If you're sitting in front of the TV
no,
or
I
not.
Will.
Have them on.
I'm like
right?
that. I am like that.
You need
that.
All the folks who believe in superstition to just follow, just embrace all of it tomorrow.
Tomorrow right. night is the night. Mike right, Schilt is next. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Tony.
Let's yeah. get to break. As my esteemed partner just said, Mike Schilt is next. More Gwynn and Chris.
Hi, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 2:38 is the time. Going to be joined shortly by Padres skipper, Mike Schilt. Off day, and then tomorrow. It's all on the line. Game 5 of the National League Division Series, Padres and Dodgers. We're assuming you, Darvish, will pitch for the Padres. Tony's assuming Yamamoto will pitch for the Dodgers. Makes sense. He pitched in Game 1, but will Dave Roberts go bullpen day again? Who knows? We'll all find out tomorrow. The game will be shortly after 5 o'clock here. On 97.3, The Fan. Tonight, it's the American League Division Series. Detroit looking to close out Cleveland at home. And the Yankees will be looking to close out Kansas City on the road. All right, Manager Mike Schilt joins us. So appreciate the time, Mike. The Manager's Report with Mike Schilt is brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. And, Mike, as soon as the game was over last night, you said, you know, this is what it's about. Can't wait for Game 5. Let's go. And your team has been great at putting, you know, losses behind them this year. How do you go about doing it this time?
Same way. You know, I feel good. We're just going to go play. I mean, there's no I can appreciate the question, but, you know, we've done it all year. We're not going to stop now.
Mike, obviously, you know, in the pressure yesterday, you said that you were pretty comfortable if things got to this point, having a guy like you, Darvish, for Game 5. What is the advantage to having a guy like you, Darvish, for a moment like this?
Yeah, I'm really comfortable on a lot of levels. I mean, clearly it's going to be a challenge. I mean, yeah, you got a good club, but, you know, starting with Darvish He just, I'm confident he's not going to make the situation bigger than it is. He's going to go. He's going to pitch. He's got a lot of pitches, clearly. He's been in big moments before. So, in, you know, elimination games, you know, you want a bunch of guys that are just going to go and not make the experience anything bigger than it is. Just go play baseball. Because that's what this thing's going to come down to. It just always will. Whether it's, you know, April, May, Game 5, Game 6, Game 7. You know, any kind of game that, you know, allows you to move on or win the whole thing, you know, it's always about just going out and being able to go play baseball and execute and do what the game calls for, as Toddy would say. And I'm comfortable and confident in you that he'll give us the best chance to do that.
Mike Schilt is with us. Dodgers, Padres, can't wait tomorrow night. Mike, what are you happiest about with your ball club through the first four games of this series? And what are you maybe least happy about, if there's anything, through the first four games?
I mean, listen, you know, I'm pleased about a lot of things. It's been a kind of a classic series already for a lot of the good reasons and a lot of, you know, really, you know, dramatic reasons that are unnecessary, quite candidly. But I just continue to be impressed, proud of how our guys compete and how our guys carry themselves. It's a really, really special group that has a lot of special people that takes a lot of shots, which you're going to take shots at this level, founded, unfounded, and but they're just showing up and getting after it. You know, I mean, I'm not sure how to answer the other question. You know, I'm, as far as displeased, I mean, yeah, we'd like to have already won it and be moving on. Clearly, that would have been nice. But I think sometimes we forget, you know, the other side's trying too.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to me. Oh, they're not doing this. Oh, he's not doing that. Oh, I wish we could play perfect. And I wish every decision worked out, you know, 100%. That'd be awesome. The good news is a high percentage of what we've done, our guys have done, has been pretty darn good. And it's a hard game, and we play it very well, and we go about it exceptionally well, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow night.
Mike Schill joins us here, manager of the San Diego Padres. And Mike, you guys had the second-best road record in all of baseball this season. And my question is, what goes into, you know, having so much success on the road? And certainly in a moment like this, you're on a road, hostile environment. How does that come into play for a game like this?
I know we'll draw from the experience of that. That's important. It is a big part of the success of this club that's been built around just taking advantage of every opportunity you get, regardless of circumstance. I know that sounds cliche, but that is something that's way harder to actually do. And Tony, you know this, easier said than done. And this group, they bring it. And it doesn't matter, home, road, hostile environment, cold, hot, day game, night game, tough loss, big win, going to show up the next day and get after it. And then do it, you know, be prepared and look to execute and play the game the right way and do it together. And when you do that, really the environment or the situation becomes secondary. It's just about taking care of business.
Mike, is there a thought to, you know, maybe tweak anything for Game 3, you know, whether it's a lineup or anything? Or are you going to be – are you of the type that is more likely to stick with what's got us here?
I'll let you answer that question.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think you're going to tweak everything, and I think you're going to put the names in a hat and pick a lineup out. There you go.
You nailed it. You got me. I'm just now finishing up, you know, cutting up the names and the squares, and you know, I'm bringing Brian Esposito in here to bring the hat, and we'll just start drawing them.
There you go. That's what I fully expected.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got here, man. I don't know what to say. You know,
yeah,
we ride with who got us here, and I don't know what the suggestion would be. You know, we score 10 runs, we score 6 runs, we get shut out by pretty really darn good bullpen and made a lot of pitches, didn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, I don't see anything dramatically changing.
Mike, you've managed for quite a long time. You've been in this game for quite a long time. I'm not sure how many of these elimination games you've been involved. I know you've been in at least one. It came against the team you're managing now. How is there any difference in managing in an elimination game versus game 1, 2, or 3? Like, is there obviously a X and O's difference, and do you feel a difference when you're down in that dugout?
You know, there's elimination games definitely are different. I've been in a fair amount of them. You know, had the good fortune of being on 3 championship clubs in the minor leagues that I managed, and being a part of organization at one, and being a part of, you know, seeing what that looked like from a staff perspective and being, you know, in the organization. So, you know, good experience in doing it, talking to people that have done it. One of them that, you know, won 3 World Series and was just in San Diego, Tony La Russa, you know, texted with him last night after the game, just going back and forth about stuff. Answer your question. Yeah, it's different. It's clearly different than trying to win the last game of a series or the last game before a day off. But the reason I bring those things up is because, there's, you know, when you have freedom, you know, to handle your bullpen, then that allows you to do more things. The thing about the elimination game that, you know, is wonderful is, you know, you want to be able to score early. You want to try to get that lead. You want to put pressure on them. And then, you know, you want to make sure you continue to see what it looks like and trust your you know, starter in Darvish tomorrow, and let's evaluate what it looks like, and we'll let the game dictate, you know, the moves like we've done all year. And me and you talked about this, Tony. You know, I've managed fairly aggressively to, you know, especially when we have these type of opportunities to look to win games. And we've been able to do that. And, you know, nothing's going to ultimately change. We just know this is a game that we, you know, have to win. And we'll, much like every game we've played this year, we'll take it as it comes and get it and go get after it and know that, you know, we win, we move on. And so we'll get after it the best we can and trust our guys to compete and execute.
Mike, we wish you the best of luck. I don't want to keep Mr. Esposito waiting any longer with the hat to pick out the lineup. So please, best of luck. I mean, you know, I'm wishing you that from all of San Diego. And we'll see you back here on Sunday, hopefully for game one of the NLCS.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, no, we'll be there. We're excited. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir. The Manager's Report with Mike Schilt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. And there he goes, the skip of the Padres. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to give me any changes in the lineup, but I was maybe hoping he'd slip somewhere. And I knew he wasn't, but I had to try it, you know?
Yeah, he's not changing the lineup. That is basically what it just sounded like. It's the lineup will be the same. He did announce a starting pitcher. At least yet, but I mean, he kind of conceded that he was comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I think Darvish is doing media today, so
pretty sure he's going to start.
So.
Yeah.
So Darv is the guy. The one thing I was going to ask him, does the calculus change? And, you know, obviously the first couple games, it was pretty obvious Mookie Betts wasn't Mookie Betts yet. Does the calculus change in how you're pitching Ohtani with a hot Betts behind him? Although I will say, they've held Ohtani down pretty well. I mean, they've made him look human at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not hitting over 300, which is, you know, for him, it seems like craziness. But they've done a good job against Ohtani. They've done a better job against Ohtani than anybody else this year. But, you know, now with Mookie swinging the bat well, I was wondering, does that change the calculus in how you mm-hmm. pitch him? Probably not. They're having success against Ohtani. He's been relatively quiet outside of game one. So, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. But, you know, there's nothing surprising there for Mike. I think we kind of figured they had moved on beyond yesterday. That's probably why they're so good at playing so well after a clunker, right? Because they literally forget about it immediately when the game is over with. They try to learn from it, but they're on to the next. And they'll need to do that here against this Dodger ball club.
Yeah, no question. And you asked about Ohtani, too, or mentioned it. You know, he's 3-for-3 in this series when he comes up with two runners on base. And so I think the big thing, you know, and everybody said this, has been to keep these guys off base before him. And, you know, that has worked for them. And let's hope it keeps working tomorrow.
I think those are the only hits he has in this series,
right,
outside of the one he got last night with, or was that with two guys on?
That was with two guys on.
Yeah,
he had one with two guys on in game three also that loaded the bases, and then he had his three-run homer. What?
I just had to make sure everybody knew that Shohei was going to be batting later on.
Did you put that up again?
Yes, I did.
Did he do that
Someone
again?
Thought
Let me
it was,
see this.
A couple people told me it was really funny that I kept flashing it up there.
Scraby, I forgot. I really meant to tell you this, but he is currently 26 hours and 12 minutes away from batting.
Yes.
Officially.
You know, this has become, and I really do feel
you are
like
so
Fox,
tired of that, aren't you?
I really do feel that Fox heard the complaints because they toned it back a ton.
You think? Okay.
Joe Davis and John Smoltz last night were the most down the middle they have been this entire series.
They've been down the middle the whole series.
I don't know about
Stop
that.
It,
yes, they
dude.
Have.
Do you see Joe Davis's like soul leave his body when he had to interview Fernando on the field the other night? He was like, you know, doing the smile thing, like, yes, I'm so happy that you did well.
Well, he can thank Ken Rosenthal for that.
And, that's also true.
And apparently Ken Rosenthal was not allowed back in the good graces of the Padres last night because we didn't see him anywhere again.
You can't say stuff about people and expect them to.
He was definitely there, but he was not going to do the interview should the Padres have won that game yesterday. I know that.
How do you like that? How do you like that information? There's a little insight for you.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't let him do the interviews tomorrow night either. I'm sorry.
Don't be surprised if he's not. I'm just saying. Like at this point, I think when you call a man a peacock and you call the other one for pulling fire alarms and then saying what went wrong. There's going to be some pushback, and he's getting a ton of it right now.
You know, Jerks and Profar is your best friend until you're his enemy, and then you're really his enemy.
For real, you're dead to him after that.
I saw him in the clubhouse after they were celebrating after the Braves, and he was on FaceTime, and someone, I don't know who it was, poured beer on his head, and he was so angry that he got beer poured on his head, and he was just like, I saw that side of Jerks, I'm like, that's the side of Jerks that I love right there.
Yeah, man. We didn't even talk about the article, did we? I don't think we had
not
a chance.
Not us, but what do you think? I mean,
it was uncalled for, is what I think. And,
what, the Ken Rosenthal?
Yes.
Oh, we talked about it when we were with Tony we talked with you on Wednesday about it, I'm pretty sure. Because I remember reading it to you when we were sitting at Baja Ritz.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right.
Here's
that's
the part of the conversation you didn't talk about, because I said that I think that Fox may have should have taken him off the broadcast just because he was... He was not being unbiased with his article. Was that too dramatic of a thought, Tony?
I think
Tony?
That's a little dramatic. I think.
He can't interview Padres players. Isn't that a problem?
That would be the problem, not because he was unbiased. I mean, once the Padres make the decision that we ain't talking to my man, then the station has a choice to make. They had a backup. Should the Padres have won yesterday, that was going to conduct the interview, and it wasn't his name was not Ken Rosenthal. So
they better get some more backups for the next.
I imagine there's going to be another one here today, and that's which is also why Joe Davis probably had that crazy smile on his face because he was like, "Yo, I don't usually do these interviews after
that's
the game."
Also true.
And I know that this is quite awkward because my teammate is the reason why I'm doing this interview right now. So.
Did you guys see the George Brett interview yesterday during the Yankees and the Royals?
Was he sloshed?
No. No. But they did it for like a whole inning, and it was like, okay, we're done with this whole thing. We're done with the George Brett interview. You know how sometimes those innings go on forever and you run out of things to talk about with someone?
Yes, that's the tough part about doing those. You get a long inning, guess what? You can't just get off. You're going to have to stay on there. So
that's true.
Coming back.